The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 1 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Chapter 11, Pride, Selfishness, Rebellion, and Disobedience. From Proverbs 16, verses 18 through 19, we read, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the meek and poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." In Proverbs 21, verses 24 and 29-23, "Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. A man's pride will bring him low, but a humble spirit will obtain honor." And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power." Chapter 11, Devotional 1, Forget Drano. Are your pipes clogged? In Jeremiah 5, verses 20 through 21 and verse 25, it is written, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, Now hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you." God used Jeremiah to speak a stern warning and rebuke to the people of Jerusalem. God tells the Israelites their sin, rebelliousness, and disobedience has turned away and blocked their blessings. When we face a problem with a clogged drain and water backs up in our sink, we reach for Drano Liquid Clog Remover with the confidence that it will remove the sludge that is blocking our drains and causing our problem. When the water flow from the faucet is diminished, we unscrew the filter and clean out the sediment to ensure water flows freely. Everything that exists on earth must first occur in the spiritual realm, and then it is manifested in the world, just as grease and food particles will clog and block your pipes in your kitchen sink. Rebelliousness and disobedience will clog your spiritual pipes and limit the flow of God's blessings and anointing in your life. Child of God, are you walking in sin and disobedience? Are your spiritual pipes clogged and limiting the flow of God's blessings, favor, protection, and provision in your life? Are you carrying anger, resentment, and unforgiveness toward anyone? Are you committing sin in the dark, in the back of the room when no one is watching? Did you do the last thing God told you to do? Is God's word the final authority in your life? Or have you built your world around the latest trend on Oprah Winfrey? If your spiritual pipes are clogged, I encourage you to forget Drano. Inject your spiritual pipes with a heavy dose of repentance and faithful obedience. Don't force God to perform a personal service call to clean your spiritual pipes. He will show up and do the work for you, but it will not be pretty, and it usually requires some pain and suffering. Lord, thank you for your lessons on the consequence of sin and disobedience. Remove any area of sin and disobedience I have, as I want and need your favor, protection, and provision. May your blessings always flow freely in my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 2. The Perverted Mind of a Willful Rebel, a Hardened Heart. Romans 1, verses 18 through 19 and verse 28 tell us, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." Paul addresses the life of the willful rebel, The person who knows about God but willfully and intentionally chooses to ignore, reject, and disobey him. Paul says of these men and women that God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Other translations describe the mind of the willful rebel as reprobate, base and condemned, debased and dirty. Webster's dictionary defines reprobate as unapproved, rejected, worthless, cast away, and depraved, corrupt, wicked, morally evil, sinful, and perverted. Paul goes on in verses 29 and 30 to say that a depraved or perverted, unnatural, abnormal, or misguided mind leads to many forms of evil, unrighteousness, and sin, including homosexuality, sexual immorality, greed, envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossip, slander, arrogance, boasting, and parental disobedience. Paul says the willful rebel is without understanding and is untrustworthy, unloving, and without mercy. He not only engages in evil and sinful acts, but also encourages others to perform these acts as well. We see ISIS and other terrorist and hate groups recruit and encourage others to perpetrate evil on a daily basis. It is impossible to watch the daily news on TV or look at the headlines on the internet without seeing the truth of Paul's words. We are bombarded with evidence of depravity and perversion that often defies understanding. As Christians, we must accept God's word as our truth and allow it to penetrate and change our thought life. Right thinking aligns with God's word and God's ways. Any thought or action that does not align with the word of God is evil, corrupt, wicked, condemned, and perverted. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to speak to you today and reveal any perversion in your life. Do not become a willful rebel and exchange God's truth for the lies of Satan. Acknowledge God in all your ways, as it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Lord, thank you for penetrating truth and power of your word. Holy Spirit, help me to consider and acknowledge the Lord, lean on him, and trust in him. Help me to see God's hand and his face every day, everywhere I look. Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 3, Close Encounters with a Whale, Cost of Disobedience. In Jonah, Chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and 15 through 17, we see, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, and paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea stopped its raging. Then the men feared the Lord greatly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. How often do we imitate the behavior of Jonah depicted in this passage? God tells us to do something, we hear his voice clearly, understand what he is telling us to do, but instead of obeying him, we do just the opposite. Like Jonah, we run the other way. Later, we come face to face with the unpleasant consequence of our stubbornness and disobedience. Jonah's disobedience caused him to be thrown into the sea, where he ended up in the belly of a whale for 3 days and nights. After the fish spit him out, he went on to obey God's instructions. I suffered a broken ankle and spent months in a cast because of my refusal to listen to the Holy Spirit's warnings. When the Spirit prompted me not to get on the tree swing, it was not a divine mission. He was simply trying to protect me from harm. But I, like Jonah, refused to listen. In an act of male pride and ego to satisfy a dare, I took hold of the tree swing rope and floated freely through the air until my hand slipped and I came crashing to the ground. My disobedience and painful consequences are a reminder to put my personal desires, plans, and agenda aside and simply obey God. Today, I can say that I'm grateful for the experience and the lesson I learned. Child of God, do you imitate Jonah? Do you hear God's voice clearly, then run the other way? Do you put your own ego, plans, and desires before God's? I encourage you to ask God to show you where an act of willful disobedience has led to hardship and difficulty in your life. If you continue, God may use a hungry whale to teach you a lesson on the importance of obedience. I pray all your close encounters are with God and never whales. Lord, thank you for this powerful lesson on the importance of obedience. Help me to hear and obey your voice at all times. Grant me close encounters with your Spirit. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 4. Are you a sheep or a goat? Do you follow or wander off? In Matthew 25, verse 33, we read, He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Imagine the scene as one of heaven's angels stands at the gate, announcing, Sheep on the right, goats on the left. I can only imagine the confusion, questions, surprise, shock, and sighs of relief that the angel hears daily. For me, many questions come to mind. For example, one, do all sheep know that they are sheep? Two, do goats know they are goats? Three, do they get it confused? Four, do people often go and stand in the wrong line? Five, do people argue and debate as they stand in line as to who is a goat and who is a sheep? A few minutes of research on the internet revealed many similarities and differences between goats and sheep. One characteristic really stood out and helped put this verse in perspective. The definition explained, Goats are curious by nature and are quite independent. A sheep, on the other hand, prefers to stay put in its flock. Suddenly, the distinction was clear. Goats are stubborn, express their independence, and rely on self, turning away from God. In contrast, sheep listen and willingly follow the shepherd, follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit explained that it's this issue of independence that God finds so offensive that ultimately disqualifies goats from the kingdom. Goats reject Jesus and refuse to follow him. God wants sheep that by nature know his voice and follow him and only him. The word makes it clear that the Lamb of God loves his sheep. He proved it by sacrificing his life for us. While goats resemble sheep, Jesus knows the difference, and in the end, that's all that matters. Child of God, I encourage you to resist the temptation to go your own way, acting like a goat. Be a sheep and follow him. Don't spend eternity in hell wishing you had made a different choice. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you sent the Lamb of God to die on the cross for our sins. Help me to always recognize his voice and come to his waiting arms where I will find safety, comfort, and joy. Jesus, my shepherd, lead me to green pastures and still waters through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 5, Rebellion in the Ranks, Rebellion and Resistance. Numbers, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, tell us, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Sadly, sooner or later, every leader will face the spirit of rebellion in the troops. Most often, it comes from the inner circle. I've developed a special interest in the subject of spiritual authority over the last several years, as Pastor Dollar has taught us on this important subject, both in his messages from the pulpit to the congregation and in his leadership development calls with WCCI ministry leaders. I've come to realize through his teachings that rebellion and sedition are common occurrences in the body of Christ and are a major tool Satan uses to attack the church and thwart kingdom business. I'm beginning to learn just how effective Satan has been in convincing many Christians that the church should operate and run like the world. The world uses opinion polls, focus groups, democratic elections, consensus, cultural norms, and emerging trends to decide between right and wrong and establish direction. Be clear, all of these practices are in direct opposition to the kingdom of God. In the spiritual realm, it's different. In the spirit realm, kingdom, God rules, God decides, God decrees, commands, establishes order, vision, direction, chain of command, rewards, and penalties. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. Rebellion, sedition, open defiance of spiritual leaders, murmuring and complaining is offensive to God. It is designed by Satan to destroy the church and undermine the kingdom. God expressed his anger over the behavior to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Aaron was spared, but Miriam was struck with leprosy because she spoke negatively against Moses, God's ordained leader. Child of God, I encourage you to obey God's word as it relates to spiritual authority. Submit to your leaders, honor them, follow them in excellence, and pray for them. Understand that they have been appointed by God. Do not fall for Satan's tricks. Rebellion, disobedience, sedition, and complaining will not go unnoticed and always carries a penalty. Lord, thank you for this important lesson on spiritual authority. Holy Spirit, teach me and help me to submit to my leaders, pray for them, and honor them at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 6, Spiritual Blindness, Blindness of the Heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Blindness takes many forms. It can be temporary and treatable or permanent and defy treatment. It can occur as a result of aging, physical injury, sickness, or disease. It can happen suddenly or develop over time due to improper diet, poor nutrition, exposure to poison, or as a result of genetic history. Spiritual blindness also occurs, according to Paul. He says spiritual blindness is a result of a heart condition. It occurs whenever a person chooses to rebel against the word of God and to live a life of sin. It is a progressive condition, which, one, is caused by a hardening of spiritual arteries that block the flow of God's love and goodness. Two, progresses due to a closed mind that refuses to accept and believe God's word. Three, develops into willful rebellion and alienation from God, from his word and his ways. Four, produces ignorance and foolish behavior, and leads to pride and arrogance. 5. Produces a false sense of trust and dependence on money, power, possessions, fame, and worldly acceptance. 6. Causes a heightened level of fear and selfishness. 7. Results in an inability to see God's presence, mercy, grace, and favor in the world. Thankfully, spiritual blindness is curable. There is hope for anyone who suffers from this ailment. In an instant, it can be cured. Healing requires repentance and a pure heart. Spiritual sight is restored as you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. Saturating your mind with God's word and accepting the finished works of Jesus Christ will restore a hardened heart and, in time, enable you to see clearly. Sight improves as you change your thinking so that it aligns with God's word. A steady diet of God's word and regimen of prayer leads to increased vision. Spiritual sight equips you to see the presence, wonder, majesty, and grace of God. Believe Jesus when he says, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." The quotation from Luke 10, verses 23 and 24. Lord, thank you for being a God who cannot lie. Thank you for softening my heart to your promises in your word. I praise you for giving me eyes to see you clearly every day. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 7, A Single Act of Rebellion, Living Under Jesus' Rules. From Numbers 20, verses 11 and 12, we learn, Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. The water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Every time I think of Moses and read this passage, my heart aches for him. I'm stunned at the cost of a single act of rebellion and disobedience. To the Israelites, Moses was a hero. Because of him, the people had water to drink from a rock. In God's eyes, this single act of disobedience was a defining moment. Moses, God's trusted servant, had rebelled. Moses had allowed his emotions to rule, and he defied God and disobeyed his commandment. God told him to speak to the rock, and the water would flow freely. Instead, out of frustration, he struck the rock with his staff. I'm humbled by God's mercy and tolerance of the many years of rebellious behavior in my life. There have been times that Satan tried to persuade me that my rebellion canceled the fulfillment of God's promises in my life. He has tried to cause me to walk in shame and condemnation and to convince me that Moses' rule, one strike and you're out, ensures that I too will never inherit God's promises. I praise God that I live under the Jesus rule. His blood did it all. Through his blood sacrifice on the cross, I have full reconciliation, redemption, restoration, and forgiveness for my sins, past, present, and future. I rest in the confidence that God's word tells me. When God looks at me, he sees me in the light of what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus' faithfulness and sacrifice did it all, quoting Hebrews 10, verses 14 through 17. Child of God, without mercy and grace, we would all fail to receive the promise of God. I encourage you to give God's praise and thanksgiving today for Calvary. Next time Satan comes to taunt you, remind him that you live under the Jesus rule, and that Jesus is your personal guarantee for access into heaven and eternal life. Lord, thank you for your boundless mercy and grace. Jesus, I am so thankful that your blood on the cross allows me to live under the Jesus rule, and that all my sins are forgiven. I thank you that by your grace I am able to inherit every promise God made in his word. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 8. Are you ready to obey and submit? Overcome strongholds. Hebrews 13, verse 17 tells us, Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. When you look at the behavior of Christians in the workplace, it is clear that many of us are not reading God's word and do not know what the word tells us to do, or we simply choose to be rebellious and disobedient and refuse to submit to the leaders in our lives. I confess in my own life I struggled with the issue of obedience and submission for decades. Over the past 5 years, as I began to study on spiritual authority and obedience, I was shocked when the Holy Spirit revealed the startling truth and power of this stronghold in my life. I spent several decades as the prodigal son, living apart from the Word and cut off from God. Looking back on my life, I was stunned to realize that every important mentor in my life struggled with the same issues. They were all fiercely independent and rebellious. Without realizing it, I had copied and mimicked their mindset and behavior, never giving a second thought to the consequences of my actions would have on my life and others around me. As a result, the Lord intervened. He fought Satan and orchestrated a Damascus Road experience to get my attention. This was followed by 3 years of intense pruning and purging as I cried out to the Lord and surrendered the different areas of disobedience and rebellion, generational curses and strongholds to the Lord. By God's grace, I now find it easy to obey. I'm eager to submit, and finally at a place where I obey willingly and joyfully to please God and honor Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God today to show you the areas of your life where you need to obey and submit to authority in honor to Him and His Word. Trust God in His ways. You will be glad you did. Lord, thank you for the season of pruning and purging in my life. Teach me about joyful and willing submission and obedience. Jesus, help me to be humble and faithful. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Chapter 11, Devotional 9. Do you break all the rules? Vision and teams. From Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 23 through 25, we learn, "But these people have hearts that draw back from God and wills that rebel against Him. They have revolted and quit His service and have gone away into idolatry. Nor do they say in their hearts, 'Let us now reverently fear and worship the Lord our God, who gives rain both the autumn and spring rain in its season, who reserves and keeps for us the appointed weeks of harvest. Your iniquities have turned these blessings away, and your sins have kept good harvests from you.'" No leader, no manager or supervisor accomplishes anything alone. We all depend on the willing and dedicated efforts of others. Leaders must first create the vision and then communicate the vision to others. It's everyone else's job to accept the vision, embrace it, and execute. To ensure that everyone is on the same page and is going in the same direction, companies create policies and procedures, checklists, rules, guidelines. Leaders use these tools to ensure that their teams achieve the desired results in an efficient and effective manner. However, all these tools, rules, and guidelines will only work if people follow them. Obedience and compliance are critical ingredients in the process. Sounds simple and easy, right? In reality, it's never easy. Why? Disobedience and willful rebellion are rampant in our world today. In our homes, schools, at work, even in the body of Christ, we have turned our backs on authority. We pride ourselves on our independence. In this age of the me man, we want to be the boss, the lord of our lives. And yet, in the midst of rebellion, we wonder why we are having hard times and why we are suffering. The words of Jeremiah ring as true today as they did when he first wrote them. Our stubbornness, hardened hearts, and willful disregard for God and His Word have become a great dam and a wall, a barrier, that stops the blessings in favor of God. Child of God, do you want a new life at work or home that is rich in the abundant favor of God? Do you need God's blessings to reign on your life? I encourage you to decide today to remove the wall and destroy the dam. Obey God and watch the blessings and favor begin to flow. Lord, thank you for the obedience and faithfulness of Jesus. Jesus, may your presence in me soften my heart. I need your grace, your blessings, and your favor. Help me love you and obey you at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.